Welcome to the Life After Sugar podcast, the podcast that's not just about sugar, but about your relationship with it and also with food and especially with yourself. So if you want to discover your life after sugar and hear inspiring stories from all kinds of people who also cut out sugar in their way, at their pace, for their own reasons, this is the podcast for you. Because you know, when you take away the sugar, you can finally discover the real sweetness in your life. I'm your host, Netta Gorman, and this week I'm talking with Amanda Leith, who runs Shift Recovery for late-stage food addicts. And in this episode, Amanda explains what late-stage food addiction is, as well as her own journey with food addiction. And we talk about the abstinence model, as well as finding the right treatment for your level of food addiction. We also talk about the shades of grey in food addiction. And you'll hear Amanda's message that food addiction is not your fault. We'll get to our chat in just a minute. But first, I just wanted to tell you that if you're looking for some free resources about how to get rid of cravings, then I have plenty for you. Come check out the Life After Sugar Facebook page and subscribe to the Life After Sugar YouTube channel, as well as my Instagram account at My Life After Sugar, which is where you'll get all kinds of inspiration so that you can see that it's perfectly possible to live a happy and active life, even if you don't eat sugar. You can also check out my TikTok account at Netta_lifeaftersugar. And you can also download my 5 tips to start getting rid of cravings. Look in the description in the show notes along with this episode. So today I'm talking with Amanda Leith, who is an addiction counsellor specialising in food addiction and the owner of Shift Recovery by Acorn. Lovely to see you, Amanda. And could you tell us a bit about your background with food addiction and sugar, please?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Netta. So excited to be here. And yeah, my journey with food addiction, sugar addiction started many, many years ago. I'm not sure if I was born addicted to food. I certainly was born addictive, and food was very important to me at a young age. Certainly, I could tell it was more important to me than my friends. And I was always what we referred to at the time, a pudgy little girl. We ate very healthy. I grew up my mom was well ahead of her times with the food we ate. So we ate healthy, and I really enjoyed my food. And it just kind of stayed that way. And then when I hit my teenage years, I found something else that was more exciting to me, which was alcohol and drugs and boys, and food kind of wasn't that important in my life. I was still a bit overweight. And then in my early 20s, I decided to change my life, and I wasn't really, because I certainly wasn't sober from drugs and alcohol, but far more than I had been. And my food took off with a vengeance. And I tell you that I didn't know, I would never have said it was my food, but my body got larger and larger and larger. And, you know, I worked really hard all in my 20s on being on different diets, you know, being on different exercise programs, going to the gyms. I went away to different fat camps. I mean, I really worked hard because I had to deal with my weight problem, what I then called the weight problem. And the truth is, when I look now, certainly nothing was changing in my weight problem in the way that I would want it to. I was just getting larger and larger and larger. And as that was happening, I can now see my self-loathing, my depression was growing at the exact same time as my size. And all I wanted was, I was so desperate to lose weight. That would fix everything for me. It really was, you know, in my mind. And I can see it now. You know, my heart even hurts sometimes thinking of me at 20. I was in so much shame and disgust with myself because I just couldn't deal with this little food problem. You know, and every doctor I'd go to, they'd just, you know, it was the old calories in, calories out. And then as it got worse, I would go to therapy and I was being treated for an eating disorder. You know, so that was mindful eating, eating everything in moderation. And very well-meaning providers were helping me. You know, I went to an amazing therapist for my eating disorder for probably 12 years. And certainly my weight I just gained more and more and more weight. I don't know what it did for me emotionally, but anyways, and so then I actually had, where are we at now? Let's say I was, you know, health problems. I was having high cholesterol, high blood pressure. I was pre-diabetic. And I couldn't stop. It could not change what I would eat. I'd wake up in the morning like, okay, Amanda, today's the day. And I don't know how many today, Amanda's the days, the days, today's the days there were. I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, you know, and I was always able to kind of, my life on the outside looked okay. But my life on the inside was just getting smaller and smaller and smaller. My life really started consisting of going to work, sleeping, and thinking about preparing or eating food. That's what it was. And then I got so desperate that in early 2000s, I finally found my cure. I was incredibly excited and I had weight loss surgery. I had what was then the lap band surgery. It was in 2005. Not very common out here, incredibly expensive. And I remember going to the doctor, the surgeon, and him saying to me, "It'll be no problem, Amanda. You just have to make sure you just eat about a teacup full of food. No problem." I was like, "Okay, perfect. Perfect. I mean, okay." I remember the night before my surgery, I went out to celebrate with my friends and we went out for Thai food, which I loved, and I just ate so much. And it was, none of us thought this was crazy. None of us thought this was crazy. So I had the surgery and I lost 25 pounds in the first 2 weeks because all you can have is liquid. And I will tell you that that is about all the weight I lost
Really?
forever in that whole surgery.
Gosh.
And two things happened. One, I became incredibly sick. And I became incredibly sick because I absolutely could not follow the food plan. I could not follow it. So two things happened. One was that I would eat what I should not have been eating, and it would made me throw up. I threw up every day for about 4 years because of this surgery, because everything would get stuck. The other is that you can, if you blend everything, you can really eat everything, you know? And but I couldn't even do that. I couldn't even do that. So I was devastated. Again, it was just another failure for me. Like I had done this thing that the medical community was like, "Yes, this is fantastic." And here I was failing at it. And I had gone into huge amounts of financial debt because it was not covered. In 2010, I had to get that removed. I had full surgery, open surgery. It wasn't even microscopic anymore because I was so sick. So that was pulled out in 2010. And I was probably 50 pounds heavier than I had been prior to my surgery when I had it removed. So at this time, I am now diabetic, giving myself needles every day. I'm over 300 pounds. I don't know my exact weight. I'm on antidepressants, high cholesterol medication, high blood pressure medication, and I'm giving myself needles every day for diabetes. And I was having panic attacks and anxiety and major depression, a lot of suicidal ideation. And I just, for me, really, unless I could lose weight, I didn't really think there was a point in living. And I had done everything I possibly could that I thought. And I was in and out of the 12-step rooms for years. And I had been in and out of many fellowships and fellowships that dealt with food. And I couldn't follow their plans either.
Can I just
Nothing to do
ask,
with them.
all these plans, did they have in common the everything in moderation approach?
Yes, all of the, well, yeah, I mean, I don't know about, I don't know if the weight loss, or if the lap band was everything in moderation. I mean, that was,
Yeah.
but yes, basically everything in moderation, and even more so, you know, have the, listen to your body, Amanda, listen to your body. If you wake up in the morning and your body's craving cheesecake, have cheesecake. Like, listen to your body, trust your body. And I tried, and there, no, that wasn't happening. So yes, everything in moderation, mindful eating, and you know, I did a lot of Weight Watchers, and you know, the points, and I, but I'll tell you, I have to be really honest. I say I did those, none of them did I really stick to. I don't even know if I was successful on any of those for 2 weeks. You know, there's a lot. If anyone ever wants diet, weight loss, help from me, I'm like, I am not an expert on weight loss. I failed at everything I ever did, so you don't want to ask me. And I had been to different treatment, lots of different treatment by this time. And then I finally, out of sheer desperation, I was now an addictions counselor, and I'd heard about this company called Acorn, and they had professional training to treat people how to treat food addicts. And I was like, oh, I'd be interested in doing that. Again, like, I knew, I'd heard the terms, of course, but it just, I can't, there's no explanation other than that wasn't me in my mind. And I remember talking to the then owner, Phil Wardell, and he was like, you know, I think you need to come for your own treatment. And I was, you know, my ego, I was like, well, I don't know who you think you are, but I'm, you know, anyways, I don't know who I thought I was either. But so I
Yeah.
went, I got on a plane. I went to Florida 5 days later. I didn't have a penny to my name. I really don't know how I pulled that off. And, you know, that day changed my life. So that was in January of 2015. And what happened was, for the first time in my life, I got diagnosed with the proper treat, with the proper disease of me personally, and therefore I finally got proper treatment. And what I had was addiction, addiction to food, certain food substances. I didn't have obesity. I was obese, but it was a symptom of my food addiction.
Yes.
I was an emotional eater, but both my emotional eating and my obesity had to come secondary to my treatment for addiction.
Gotcha.
And those things I found out would take care of themselves if I was in treatment for my primary disease, which was food addiction.
Gotcha.
So,
Can I just ask you, what was, how shall I put this? What is the definition of food when we're talking about food addiction?
yeah, it's tricky because, you know, as everyone says, we have to eat, and that's absolutely true. So, first of all, just like any addiction, it's any substance that we have a brain reaction to that causes us to go into the phenomenon of craving and having the mental obsession. And for that can look different for people in food addiction, for sure. The most common substance is sugar,
No.
or any,
Yeah,
just in case you didn't know that, Netta,
I didn't see
sugar
that
and
one coming.
any, any sweeteners of any, whether it's natural or artificial sweeteners. The next one is flour in any form, because it's a processed food. Those are the most common ones there are. And then for people like myself who are quite late stage food addicts, there's volume addiction. And what that means with food is that I was a large quantity eater. And a lot of people will say, well, you're not going to eat huge amounts of carrots or broccoli. Well, let me tell you, if that's all I'm eating, if I'm not eating sugar and flour, yes, I am. I just want a substantial amount of food. So for someone like me, I need a weighed and measured food plan. And then the other things can be grains are sometimes some people are sensitive to texture foods like popcorn or smooth foods like peanut butters. But the heavy hitters are sugar, flour, and volume if you're late stage, and then grains definitely, and processed foods. Any food that's processed, because they have been made to be highly palliative. So anything that has that high sensitivity to taste that's full of artificial ingredients is highly addictive. So that's kind of what it is. And then anyone, if people have their own things that are trigger foods for them, they need to eliminate them.
And I would say the vast majority of what we call foods that you've just, described, is that is not doesn't correspond to my definition of food, but nobody listens to me. But in the sense that, in the sense that it's always these very poor sources of nutrition that we call food, but they are 99% highly processed, very poor nutritional value. Why are we even calling those substances food?
Yeah, well, there's a question that's a whole segment on its own. I mean, this brings us into, in my opinion, completely, the big food industry. And it's really sad because so many people have no idea, And, what's happening to us is there's literally people in every one of the big food producers that their job, quite honestly, is to make our food addictive, and they want to put enough addictive substances in a food that we want more of it, but not quite enough that we eat so much of it that it makes us feel sick. It's like this, it's like the sweet point of our food, and that's exactly what it's there to do. And the people that run the big food industry are the people that used to run the tobacco industry. So they are brilliant at doing this. And it's what's available, it's what's promoted. It's unfortunately, our medical doctors are given, I mean, the amount of hours that they are given in medical school on nutrition is, I mean, it blows people's minds. So it's nobody's fault. I really want to be clear. Like, it's not the medical industry's. They're doing what they're being taught, but it's the one other thing I'll just say on this topic is that, it's a crazy system because in my experience personally, within 6 months of being abstinent, I was literally off of every single one of my medications.
Isn't
I
that
was no longer giving myself needles, no longer high cholesterol, no longer blood pressure, medicate. Like, I was off every single medication. And my doctor, she was always supportive, but she was just like, oh my gosh, you just don't ever see this. And anyways, it's insane system, and it's a setup. It's nobody's fault. All those of you that are eating the foods, it's not your fault. This is a setup, and it's just relearning. And then that's a whole different topic than food addiction. And but it is a driver of food addiction. And what I'm telling you about my results with my blood tests and my medication, this is not rare that I see with the clients that I work with. This is not rare. This is the most common, and yes, I personally, have lost half my body size, which is amazing. But that is the smallest part, to be really honest, of what my recovery has given me. There's nothing in my life today that is the same as what it used to be. And that truly all came from having a proper diagnosis and then proper treatment.
Amazing.
I just want to say one other thing, because I think this comes up, Netta, when I talk about my food plan and my weighing and measuring, is that a lot of people will say, well, isn't that restrictive? And I really want to speak on that because for many people, yes, it would be restrictive. And it's not, it wouldn't work. It's not, they don't need that, So I really want to speak to that. And when you're talking about people that are late stage food addicts that have volume addiction, it's actually the only way we gain freedom. And it is the most freedom I've ever had around food in my life. Because if I was having to make my own decisions around, is this enough food? Is that not enough food? Or let me check into my body. My brain is broken when it comes to these addictive substances. And it would be like saying to someone that's an alcoholic, well, isn't it a bit restrictive that you never drink again? Or someone that's a cocaine addict, well, isn't it a bit restrictive that you're never going to snort a line of cocaine again? We don't even think of that when we're talking about that. And it's really true for us as food addicts too. So whatever your level of addiction is, that's the medicine you need. And you need that level of medicine to gain freedom and to gain peace and to gain a life so that your life is not about, am I eating enough? Am I not eating enough? Am I hungry? I just know my body is getting enough nutrients. It's satiated. I don't have to worry about my food. So I think that's an important piece. And people that are maybe not addicted or early stage, they don't need to weigh and measure. And yes, it could be harmful for some people in the eating disorder world. So we really have to pay attention to where people are at.
Yes. And what you were saying about the fact that you got the diagnosis that you needed is what you've just spoken to. It's not a one size fits all. I know personally that weighing and measuring my food would be counterproductive, but that's because I'm not late stage.
Yes. That's right. And there's many, many people, that there's not a lot of us. Well, I say that there's millions of us that are late stage. And in the grand scheme of the world, there's only a small percentage. And so my message really is those are the, that that's who I was, and that's who my clientele is. And that's, the people that I'm speaking to. I want people to know that it's not your fault. And if you are struggling with food, whether you're obese or not, I want to get really clear. The size of your body has nothing to do with what stage food addict you are. I have clients that are underweight or what we would call a healthy weight or morbidly obese that are late stage food addicts. So that isn't a marker, although definitely if we're obese or morbidly obese, something's going on there. But I just want it really loud and clear that if you're struggling with food and eating, and possibly weight under or over. I want addiction to be a possibility so that it's a possibility that if it's there, you get to have the proper treatment. That's all we're going for, is it a possibility for you?
I just want to take a quick break to say that if this is your first time here, then welcome and thank you for listening to this podcast. And whether you're new or a regular and you haven't yet rated or reviewed this podcast, could I ask you to scroll down and tap on the stars to rate this podcast and also to write a short review to let me know how this podcast is helping you in your life after sugar. I love reading your reviews. And when you rate and review this podcast, not only does it encourage me to continue making new episodes, but it also helps to share this podcast and have more people see it so that we can help more people feel better and lose weight with less sugar. So again, thank you for rating and reviewing this podcast and for spreading the word about sugar. And you used a word before, which is abstinence. And I know that you use an abstinence-based model, right? And I'm just wondering, could you explain what that is and what you're abstinent from? Because you can't be abstinent from all food. In fact, as I was saying earlier, I don't think you're actually abstinent from food at all. You're abstinent from those products. But I'll let you explain what that is, if you could.
Yeah, great. I'm glad you said that, Netta. So yes, we are an abstinence-based model. So that's the model that we work at Shift Recovery. And so what that means, it's the disease-based model. And what it means is that it's a two-part disease. And the first part is that in order for our brain to start healing, we have to be physically abstinent from any substances that we are addicted to. And again, whether it's alcohol, drugs, sugar, flour, it's the same thing. So abstinence-based is that you have to be completely free from all of those substances in order to start healing your brain. So again, for us, what we're looking at with people is all sugars and all sweeteners in any form, all flours in any form, and then again, weighed and measured if you're middle to late stage. And then it will depend. This is where we go a little bit more individually, is where you're at. For some people, it's grains. For some, it's not. For, you know, it just really depends. So you're abstinent from any food substance or eating behavior that triggers your addiction. That is what you're abstinent from when it comes to food, eating, sugar addiction.
Okay, so what is it that you do eat?
Okay, great question. So, vegetables, protein. We on our food plan at Shift, we do include grains, whole grains. We do have fruit on our food plan and fat. Fat. So again, anything in its closest whole natural food state is what we're going for. Because as I said earlier, it whole natural foods have much less risk of triggering the addiction in our brain. So our food plan really is protein, vegetables, fruit, whole grains, and fat. That's what our food plan is. And it's a weighed and measured food plan. There's not many people by the time they come to Shift Recovery. Most people that show up at our door, you're middle to late stage food addict. Very rarely do we have people that aren't. Absolutely, we will work with them if they are. And then we want to meet their needs. But by the time you show up with us, most people are, you know, they've been around the block a few times, tried a lot of different things, and are in pretty desperate stages of needing some sort of support, and have tried a lot of things.
Okay. All right. So your approach flies in the face of the everything in moderation mantra, thank goodness, I must say. And so what does the, I don't know, what the nutritional or medical establishment think of people like you treating people like these?
Yeah, again, that could be a whole nother podcast too, Netta, but it absolutely is not everything in moderation. I, in my opinion, and I am not a doctor, I always just want to say that, but from my personal opinion, what I've seen working with all addicts across the board, again, whether it's, you know, drugs, alcohol, food, sex, gambling, in my opinion, when I look at the science, ingesting the substance you're addicted to in any amount triggers or has a very high chance of triggering the addiction. And I have never seen it work when I'm working with a middle to late stage food addict. I have never, ever, ever seen it work. So it can be really tough. So there are definitely there are more and more people in the medical world, the dietitian world, nutrition world that are on board with us and seeing it working, which is really the greatest gift. I can tell you with my personal experience with my own doctor. You know, she thought this was all a bit crazy. Well, I tell you, 10 years later now, no, or 9 years later now, she doesn't think it's crazy. She can see, and that it's now, you know, this is sustained. This is sustainable. And so we are battling that often. And for me, it's just about educating people. They just don't know. And what they don't know how to treat. And because especially, you know, the one of the hardest is the eating disorder world for us. That's the hardest. Because to them it's true. Their word, not mine, of a food plan like this, the rigidity of it could be very damaging to people. If when they're suffering with something different than we are. So it's really important that there's proper diagnosis. But the same thing is when they're treating middle to late stage food addicts and they are treating them with moderation, it is also very damaging, incredibly harmful. So we all have to work together. There's room for all of us, and we really need to be there for each other. And my client is not the client that is struggling with an eating disorder and does not have addiction. That is not my client. And I honestly believe, unless you're going to treat both, that if you're eating disordered and not treating addiction, the addicted client is not your client. So we just need to be, and I am so, you know, I don't know everything at all. I'm a long shot from it. And today I might, or, you know, this afternoon I might learn something completely new, and I'm open to that. This is just what I've seen. And so I think we do really have to be careful. I have to be incredibly careful to be offering my treatment, not my treatment, the addictive model treatment to middle to late stage food addicts. And I believe the eating disorder providers need to be very careful that they are not treating the middle to late stage food addicts. And is emotional eating a part of addictive eating treatment? Absolutely. But it's not first. I can't be treating someone for their emotions when they're jacked up by their addictive substance.
It's not
going to work very well or for very long. So you got to treat first what the primary is. So if it's eating disorder, you want to treat that first. If it's addiction, you got to treat that first. And then there's room to deal and start healing everything else.
Yes. Yes. There's lots of shades of gray in this whole area to do with food. And I put that in air quotes because I still don't believe it's actual food. It's a misnomer. But I also, you know, I'm not a doctor, as I keep saying over and over again. I think people have got that by now. But I mean, it still bears repeating. But the people that I help are not necessarily late stage because, you know, I don't follow the abstinence based approach. But I have the same experience as you, where you can't actually take a step forward in dealing with, let's say, emotional eating, if your brain is still jacked up on all these highly processed food products. Mm-hmm. And you can't actually really start eating proper food, real whole food, until you've got rid of all these highly processed products as well. And, you know, I wish we had a better vocabulary for what we put in our mouths, you know?
Yeah. You're absolutely right. It's not, and it's hard to talk about. It's confusing for people because of that, because the words are, we're saying food addicted, but it is. It's very, very tricky. And so, you know, we just do the best we can, you know, with the words that we've got.
Yes. And you're doing a lot of good in the world. And, you know, and I've had people say to me, oh, it's extreme, it's self-denial. And I'm just like, have we never met? Do you know anything about me, you know, to judge that it's a sad and, you know, sad life with full of self-denial? It's quite the opposite. It's really difficult, isn't it, to make people understand that this is freedom. The abstinence is freedom.
It's so true, Netta. And it is extreme for some people. If that's not you, that is extreme. But for myself and the thousands and thousands of people that, you know, Acorn, now called Shift, has been around for over 30 years. And the people that we've treated, it's not extreme. Extreme to us is, you know, losing a limb because you're diabetic and you can't stop eating. Extreme to us is committing suicide because you can't live with yourself and you don't know how to get out of it. You know, the health conditions people have, the heart attacks, the strokes, that's extreme. And much of that is coming out of people that have untreated food addiction.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would add to that, extreme is just the prevalence of all this highly processed foods on the grocery shelves. That is extreme. You know, it's all over the place. It's everywhere. And all the ads we get bombarded with, and it's been normalized that this is, you know, that when you start eating actual real whole foods, then that is judged as being extreme, which means that the opposite is now normalized.
It's absolutely true. I was just going to say, like, we are so conditioned to seeing all that food, tasting all that food, smelling all that food, that it is true. Those of us that decide to help ourselves, whether it's, you know, someone like me who, and, you know, knocking on death's door, or you just, you know, you just decide, actually, I want to eat a whole food plan. I want to feel better. You're exactly right. It's thought of as extreme. And I think a lot of that, I will tell you, comes from because people love their food. Mm-hmm. It is a comfort in this world. Mm-hmm. And I think people have this idea, it's almost like a threat. If someone else is doing it, then they feel like they're wrong. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have to change something. And so I wish it could be, nobody's wrong. You're not wrong if you're going to choose to not
Even if you are a low bottom food addict and you choose, I would say that you're not really choosing at that point. The addiction's running the show, but you're not getting treatment, or that's okay. You're not wrong. Everyone, literally, I believe the majority of the world is showing up the best they can. And there is so many shades of gray, as you pointed out earlier. And I guess my hope is that we all can just really allow room for each other, no matter what we're doing, whether you're fully on eating processed food or fully eating organic natural foods. I guess the shaming that can go on there is just harmful, and it's just unnecessary. Everyone's really doing the best they can, even if it doesn't look like they are. They really are.
Yeah.
And so I guess for me, I just want, for my mission and the mission of Shift Recovery, is that, as I said before, you know, there's help and support out there if you're struggling. And, you know, if you're struggling and you're not a medium to low bottom food addict, there's many other people. We'll send you to places that are different. You know, there's many other places on the spectrum, like what you're doing, Netta. And there's many, many more. There's many brilliant people that have gotten on board with this, that are dealing with people that have sugar addiction, processed food addiction, whatever it may be. And I think, just like anything, in the beginning, in the early stages, we're thought of as extreme. And I believe it won't always be that way.
Yeah,
and for now it is. Just like tobacco. I mean, it was just the normal, and it's no longer the normal. And we get to ride the coattails of the tobacco industry for sure.
Yes.
And that is what's happening. It's just taking time, and not as quickly as I think it should.
Well, you know, we humans, we're not that fast, are we, really, at understanding and learning?
That fast. Yeah.
History has taught us. But we are doing our best. And I think you run an in-person recovery center. Can you just quickly tell us about that?
Sure. So Shift Recovery. So as I just said a minute ago, so Shift, as a matter of fact, the place I went to get my own treatment, and I said in 2015, that was then owned by Phil Werdell, that was called Acorn. And Acorn started about 32 years ago. And so I got my treatment there, and then I started working for the then owners, Phil and Mary of Acorn. And then they were retiring, and I purchased the business from them. And it's now called Shift, which stands for Sobriety, Hope, Freedom, and Trust, and Shift Recovery. And what we do is we treat middle to late stage food addicts. And we have kind of our mothership program is called the Intensive. It is in person, as well as, ever since COVID came out, we also have a virtual one as well. But the in-person one is pretty much stayed the way it has been for about 30 years. And we've made it a few changes. It used to be 5 days. It's now a full week. And we have a 12-week aftercare program that's done virtually. And so the 1 week is really, it's a pretty intense week. That's why it's called the Intensive. It's run by two addiction counselors. And we're kind of focusing on three things. We're focusing on getting physically abstinent. We're focusing on a little bit of the science of the around food addiction. We focus on kind of the powerlessness and what addiction does in the brain. A lot of people need support going through withdrawal and detox, especially from sugar. And those are kind of the main foundation that we give them that week. And then we have a pretty intense outpatient aftercare program that is made up of seeing a coach one-on-one once a week, daily email interactions with your coach, as well as a 3-hour group every week with your whole group. We are a 12-step based model. We highly believe in the 12 steps. And I just want to say something I said earlier. I want to be clear about it, is that many people can get completely food sober in the 12 steps on their own. We don't all have to go to treatment, just like many people do in the alcohol and drug addicted world. So I just want to be really clear on that. So we are a 12-step based model, and we take clients through the 12 steps from a therapeutic model. And then we have a lot of programs for our alumni. We give our clients a lot of support, because in our opinion, you know, the first 2 years in recovery, it takes a long time to heal our brain. And we start doing that physically, and then very quickly we have to start working on our emotions, just living life on life's terms. And many of us have used food to cope with the world, you know, rightly so. So we want new tools. How do we be in the world? How do we deal with our different feelings? And because if we don't, you know, we talk about our emotional barometer is going to hit the boiling point. And once it hits that, we have no choice but to pick up our food or our substances. So we want to really work with people so that their emotional barometer does not hit the boiling point. And so that takes a lot of time and needs a lot of support, in our opinion, both professionally and with fellows. You want to be around people that are speaking your language and doing the same thing that you're doing. We also have some things that anyone can join, and they're free. One of them is our Shift Strong calls. They happen 4 times a week, and anyone can hop on. It's just a 1-hour call led by our different counselors, and people just check in. It's a great place for people to come if they just want to find out about us and who we are and what we're doing. So those run 4 times a week. And we do 2 alumni 12-step meetings a month that are free that people can join. And then the other alumni programs we have, they focus on like relapse prevention, codependency, emotional sobriety. Emotional sobriety is really, you know, quite honestly, the food is the smallest part of our recovery. You got to
Yes.
get abstinent first, and then what we're working on is our emotional sobriety in the world.
Yes, I
And so
found
we have a
that
lot of
too.
programs on
People
that.
come in thinking we're gonna go into the food and eat this, don't eat that, this about sugar, that about sugar. It's very little about the food or the sugar in my case. It's about life and how you want to live it.
It's really about learning how to live life without our substances. And
Yeah.
that is very raw for many of us, you know. And the deal is, once we're free, once our brain is healed, we actually have the freedom to live life, but we often don't know how. And so just normal life, just, we're not talking big traumas. Of course, a lot of us have those as well, but I'm just talking day-to-day life. Like, how can I show up in the world and go to bed at night and still be connected to myself, still like myself? You know, that's really what we're going for here. And if we can't do that for a long period of time, we will have no choice but to go back in and start soothing with food or any other substance.
Absolutely, absolutely. You're doing fantastic work. You're an angel.
Aw, so are you, Netta. So are you.
Thank you, thank you. And plenty of room for angels on the planet. I'm going to put the information for how people can get in touch with you along with the show notes of this episode. And thank you. Thank you for the good work you do. And thank you for letting us know that this exists and it's valid and it's not anyone's fault for food addiction.
Oh, Netta, thank you so much for having me. And the last thing you just said is something I always want people to know, like, this is not your fault, and there's help out there. This is not your fault. Other thing I just want to say is that we do free consultations for people, and you can get that when you go to our website, and Netta will put that information up. And just know that we don't only talk about Shift; we talk about a lot of other options if you're not a fit for us. So please sign up for that one of those. We'd love to talk to you. And Netta, I'm really truly grateful for people like you that allows all of us to come together, all of the different modalities to come together and have a voice. And
Absolutely.
thank you so much for the work you're doing.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you. Oh, I'm so happy to have chatted with Amanda because Amanda's work normalizes treatment for food addiction, whereas I find that in society in general, food addiction is either judged or it's taboo, or even worse than that, it's actually negated by nutrition experts. And so it's great to see that Shift Recovery exists and that appropriate treatment for late stage food addiction is out there. And if what Amanda describes resonates with you, I've put her details in the description along with this episode. And if you struggle with what you call food addiction, but it doesn't quite fit you to weigh and measure your food, or to have such strict steps like in a 12-step program, then maybe the After Sugar Club private membership is a better fit for you. I created the After Sugar Club, which is a private, friendly, and encouraging community that's not on Facebook, where you'll get the support and the encouragement you need to take your first steps to get rid of cravings and live a joyful life without needing sugar. For a small monthly membership fee, you'll get access to an exclusive library of resources to help you start living your craving-free life with confidence. Plus, you'll be able to attend our twice monthly support calls with me in a small group of like-minded members. You can join the After Sugar Club at any time and stay as long as you want to. To join us in the After Sugar Club, go to aftersugarclub.com and click in the top menu on After Sugar Club. You can also look in the show notes along with this episode and click on the link there to join the After Sugar Club. And if you want more personalized guidance from me, as well as weekly accountability calls, so that you too can get rid of cravings, slim down, and finally feel in control around food, especially sugar, then the 90-day program Freedom from Cravings Formula could be just the thing for you. And when you join the Freedom from Cravings Formula 90-day program, as a special bonus, you'll have unlimited access to the After Sugar Club, free of charge, for a whole year. The Freedom from Cravings Formula program opens a few times a year, and if you're on my mailing list, you'll be the first to know when registrations open again. To join the program, all you have to do is to book a clarity call with me so that we can talk about your specific needs and whether the program is a good fit for you. Go to aftersugarclub.com to see everything that's included in the program and to schedule a clarity call with me.
That's it for this week. Keep in touch and see you soon for another episode.